The text this morning will be found in John chapter 5. We're going to start at the 25th verse and go to the 30th verse. The message is entitled, The Purpose of the Resurrection. John chapter 5, starting at the 25th verse. Let's pray. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The great I am. You are the one who rides the clouds. You are the one who comes back for his church. You are the one who will sit on the throne of judgment, God. And this morning, I just ask that you speak to us your word. Lord, that we have clarity and understanding. God, that we understand the word that you speak to us this morning. Any hindrances, anything that would distract us, block our minds from hearing what you have to say, God, take it away. Lord, keep our minds in the here and now and the word that you're speaking, God. Lord, let me communicate your message clearly. And Lord, let your people here and online understand it. Lord, bless our time. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John, starting in John chapter 5, starting in the 25th verse, reads, Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to resurrection life and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Years ago, I remember reading this article, and this individual, he was talking about perception and judgment. And he wrote about how he experienced an incident in life where he saw a man attack a woman. And in his perception, it looked brutal. It looked unfair and unjust. And he called the police, and the police came, and they drew their guns on the individual, and they took him down to the ground, and they handcuffed him, and they were rough, and the guy he was bleeding when it was all done, and he was cut, and he was angry, and they had actually injured him. He actually had to go to the hospital, and they arrested the man, and they let this woman go free. And he said, and so he wrote this, how he had made this judgment based upon what he saw. But one of the things that happened is, as the police began to investigate, as the investigators began looking into it, they realized that there were several businesses around that had video cameras of parking lots. And as they began to look at the footage, they began to question other individuals and question the woman and to question the man, they realized very quickly what the man actually saw was the man protecting himself. The woman had came out and began to attack him brutally with a knife. And so when he punched the woman and he struck her and knocked her down and he called the police, he thinks that this man is being abusive and terrible to this woman, when in fact he's actually protecting himself, trying to preserve his life. And what he realizes is that he made a judgment, he made a decision that actually was incorrect. And Sometimes in life, we have to realize that we will make judgments, we will make decisions that are incorrect because we don't have all the facts. And sometimes our judgment is wrong. But we find in the person of Jesus, we find someone whose judgment is not only right, but it is right all the time. So our first point this morning is that Jesus gives life. Verse 26, this is just as the Father has life in him, and even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. But not only does he just give life, but that he gives life to us. Mm-hmm. And life for us is that it's that life that transforms. It's just not the breath of life. It's not the air that we breathe. It's not just the oxygen that we take in. That is a form of life. That is an existence. But that's not the type of life that I'm referencing today. When I says that Jesus gives life, he gives that everlasting life. He gives that life of transformation, that new life. It's what the Bible says, that we become new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things pass away and all things come new. We become something different. We become someone new. We become transformed. We who were spiritually dead now have new life. We become living. Amen. Up to the point of not knowing Christ, not serving Christ, really what we are is we are just walking dead. We are people who are spiritually dead. We don't know God. We haven't been transformed. So when I say Jesus gives life, what I'm saying is he wants to give you new life. He wants to take you from being a spiritually dead person, and he wants to change you, renew you, and give you life and transform you. John 1 and 4 says, we can have life because of Jesus. It says, in him was life. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So his life wasn't just any life, but it was the light of men. It illuminated us. It gave us something different. Not only does this light and Jesus transform us, it gives us new life, but it helps us to understand who God the Father is. We cannot not understand God as a distant God, but we can understand him as our Father. We can understand him as our Creator. We can understand God as our Savior. In him was life. So accepting Jesus today means that you can have eternal life. Okay. And so as Christians, we live with this weird tension. Okay. When I say weird tension, what I'm talking about, verse 25 says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Okay, so as Christians, we live with this tension of already not yet, okay? So what I mean by already not yet, we are experiencing some of the blessings of being children of God, being Christians, but we haven't fully experienced the full consummation of it. We haven't experienced it 100% yet. That doesn't take place until Christ returns, till all things are made new, until the end of time. We don't get to experience that, but we experience some of that in this life. And so we are saved, but we're also being saved. We're not completely saved yet. We still have to live this life. We have to get to the judgment. They have to pronounce judgment. We are being sanctified. Sanctified is a fancy word saying where we become like God, okay? Where we are becoming God, we are becoming holy. That doesn't mean that we're going to become gods, but our character starts to exhibit the characteristics that God has called human beings to live in. Yeah. And so when we are being sanctified, we are beginning to exhibit the characteristics that God has called for his people and his children. But we don't. That doesn't mean that we do them all right away, or we've got it figured out, or we're perfect. You might drive down the road and you might give someone a wave with your middle finger because they cut you off. We're not perfect. We have struggles. But that's already not yet. There will come one day that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and that those characteristics that God had desired in us, we will now begin to exhibit. We will carry, we will do the struggles that we had, the struggles that Paul had, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. That won't be our struggle no more. Amen. Something will be different about us. We will be renewed and changed. But part of that new life means that we don't come to judgment. Okay? That we will not be judged. But not only that, it says, look at this. Romans 8 and 1 said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus, okay? Doesn't mean that I've decided to live a good life and do good things. That doesn't mean that you're in Jesus, okay? Oh, I decide I'm going to be a Buddhist. I'm going to be Jewish. I'm going to be Muslim. No, you are not in Christ. So you have to be in Christ Jesus not to receive condemnation. John says, later on in John, he says, no, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. There are no other pathways, okay? This isn't Rome, that all roads eventually lead to Rome. This is not Rome, okay? The Bible says that narrow is the way, but broad is the path to destruction. But Jesus, so here's the thing. You hear all of this, that God is going to condemn, that people are going to be, that wide is the path to destruction. But that's not God's plan. That isn't God's best for you. God wants you to have new life, to be transformed, to be a Christian, to walk with him, to have an eternal life with him in the new Jerusalem. That can only happen if we accept the new life from Christ. Second point this morning, Jesus will judge all people. Jesus will judge all people. So let's get this. Okay. A lot of times we think that the people who are going to be judged are people who don't know Christ. Some people call them sinners, whatever it is. Here's the thing. All people are going to be judged. Christian, non-Christian, good person, bad person, okay? Lifelong Christian, not lifelong Christian, white, black, all people are going to be judged. It's not something that you can get out of the way. You can't know someone to get out of judgment. You can't be a politician's child. You can't know someone of influence. You can't buy your way out of judgment. Judgment is a fact of life, okay? They say two things are certain in life, taxes, death and taxes. Let me add a third. Yeah, judgment is a sure thing. All people will be judged. Now, interestingly, Jesus talks about two resurrections and that there are two judgments. Stay with me. When we accept Christ in our life, he renders a judgment of innocence. Okay. And that judgment of innocence, it stands long. So it doesn't change down the road. It stands now, okay? Then at the final judgment, we're brought to before Christ, and that he reiterates what he already pronounced before. When you come into Christ, when you give your life to Christ and you lay your life down and you know him, what happens immediately is there's a judgment pronounced of innocence. Okay, so here's the thing. You know you're going to be judged. There's no fear that you have to have of being judged, because you know that in Christ, there is no condemnation. When you're going to be judged, it is really a formality. You are going to come before the judgment seat, and you already know what they're going to say, innocent. Eternal life with God your Father in the New Jerusalem, in heaven. You get to walk on streets of gold. So your pronouncement of innocent will just be reiterated, okay? Now, Jesus was given authority. Verse 27, he says, he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Now, we talked about this last week. One of the reasons that we know when Jesus was telling the Pharisees that he had the authority to judgment, what he was telling them is, hey, I'm God, right? And this is why they want to kill him, because he's saying he's equal with God. You don't have the authority to judge people. You don't have the authority to give life. You don't have the authority to bring about resurrection. Only God can do that. So when Jesus says that, he's claiming the prerogatives of God, but he is able to give, he has the authority to judge because God gave it to him. But not only that, it says, look, he says, because he is the Son of Man. What does that mean, the Son of Man? You know, and so some people want to make it because he is a human being and he understands the plight of human beings. He understands what we go through as human beings. He understands the suffering. He understands our pain. He understands the temptation and the sin that is before us. But that's not what Son of Man means. Son of Man is a term taken from the book of Daniel. The Son of Man is an apocalyptic figure who he receives from the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God, okay? So if you look in Daniel, there's someone called the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God. He grants the Son of Man prerogatives of deity, meaning that these things that Jesus claimed, I have authority to make judgment. I have the authority of life. I can bring resurrection. These are the things that, so the Son of Man is someone who is this apocalyptic figure who has the prerogatives of God. And not only that, but that his kingdom will have total dominion. It sounds like Jesus to me. That Jesus, when he comes back to establish his kingdom, it will have total dominion. Nothing is going to take over his kingdom. Nothing will overcome it. There's no strength. There's no power. There's no army. There's nothing in this world that can overpower God's kingdom when it comes back in its fullness. We see the world as it is. We see the world with sin. We see the terribleness of the world. We see people dying of sickness. We see people dying in war. We see all of these terrible things and we think, oh, God's kingdom isn't real, because God's kingdom has not come back in all of its glory. When God's kingdom comes back in all of his, when God comes with all of his glory and all of his angels, what army in this world do you think could stand before that? Doesn't matter if how many tanks, doesn't matter how many pieces of artillery, how many nuclear bombs you have. There's nothing that can stand before the might of God. I mean, because Jesus is this, he is this Son of Man. He is this figure who is going to come back at the end of time and judge and bring about the kingdom of God. He has authority to judge people. You know, one of the things you see people, they would run around with shirts, or they would say, you know, no man can judge me but God. Yeah, guess what? And God will judge you, okay? You think you're getting away, that this is some way of pushing back against when people call you out on inappropriate behavior, call you out on, let's just be honest, your sin. Sin is basically anything that is in opposition to God. Any act, any thought, anything that we do is in opposition to God, that isn't in God's standard, is sin. And so we get mad when we have certain lifestyles and we do certain things and it's sinful. We don't want it to be sinful. So we say, can't no man judge me but God. Guess what? If someone's telling you that what you're doing is wrong, and what they're telling you is wrong is based upon scripture, you can fight against what they're saying all you want, but it's really God's judgment that has already been spoken. God said, hey, don't cheat on your spouse. Don't commit fornication. Don't murder. Don't do this. And we will try to find all the reasons, but his word said it. And because his word said it, it's true. And it doesn't matter how much we try to fight against people, how much we say other people can't judge me. No, God, his word has already judged you. Verse 29, Look at this. He says, do not marvel, for the hour is coming. Verse 28, in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. That's it. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. What sort of power does a person have when even dead people will hear his voice? That's resurrection power. That's when Jesus comes back, and now he's calling all people to come before him. This is what we call the judgment. All people are coming before him to be judged. And what are they going to be judged on? Though, verse 29, those who did good deeds to resurrection life, and those who committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. Okay? So let's talk about what this isn't. Okay? This isn't a passage about works versus faith. Okay? This isn't a thing where, oh, I did these good things, so therefore I'm in. I did these good things of serving God. I loved my neighbor. I gave to the poor. That's not what this is talking about. What's mentioned here is believing and the one sent by God. John 6:29 says, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he had sent. The work of God is that we believe in Jesus. It's not all the good things. So here's the thing. We should do good works because we're Christian, because we know Jesus, because Jesus saved us. Therefore, that should change us, and we should do good works. We should have compassion for the poor. We should have compassion for the weak. We should love people. We should do the right things, okay? It's because of our relationship with Jesus that happens. We don't have a relationship with Jesus because we love the poor. We don't have a relationship with Jesus because we care for the oppressed. We don't have a relationship with Jesus because we do good things. We do good things because we have a relationship with Jesus. But he said, for those who did evil works, what are evil works? They didn't serve God. They rejected him. These are evil works, okay? This is probably the most evil work that you can do, is rejecting the Son of God, okay? Think about it. You can murder someone if you repent. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to go to jail in this world. That doesn't mean there's not consequence in this world. But we see in Scripture that God forgives murderers. The Apostle Paul. He murdered Christian, first Christian, Stephen. He murders him, picks up the rock. He's the one who throws it. He persecutes Christians. But when he comes under the blood, he comes to know Christ. He comes into salvation. He is forgiven and he is renewed. Okay. So I'm not saying these things aren't bad things. They're terrible things. But the ultimate wickedness is rejecting Christ. Third point this morning. Jesus' judgment is fair. Okay. Not only is he a judge, all right. Not only does he have the authority to judge, but like the story that I told, where the man, he saw something, and what he realized after the fact is what he saw actually wasn't true. That doesn't happen with Jesus. Jesus doesn't see things. He doesn't see just a part of the story. He doesn't just hear just a bit of it. He's not unduly influenced by other people. He doesn't have the wrong perception. His judgment is fair. His judgment is just. So he has the authority to judge, but his judgment is right and it's just. And Jesus' judgment is perfect and holy. Why? Because it's not based upon him. It's based on his relationship with the Father. Verse 30, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He's making his decisions and his judgments based upon what he has seen the Father. Remember, if we go back just a couple of verses, he says, I can only do what I've seen the Father do, right? Verse 19, truly, truly, I say to you, The Son can do nothing for himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. The Father is holy. He is just. His pronouncements are true. His judgments are right. They are just. They are holy. And so the Son does what he sees the Father does do. He wrote Scripture. Okay? Scripture comes into existence because of Jesus. And it's true, and it's right, and it's holy. And so when we get to that time, when the dead are called out of the grave, when it comes before the judgment of Christ, the judgment that he pronounces, it is right and it's just. He will not get it wrong. I promise you. If you want to talk about you, I know someone. I got a guy. I've got a way out of this. The only guy that you might know that will get you out of judgment is Jesus himself. It's not a president. It's not a CEO of a multinational company. It's not the size of your bank account. It is not what you do. It's because I got a guy, and my guy's name is Jesus, and that I'm in a right relationship with him because he pronounced me so, and because he pronounced me innocent, I no longer face condemnation when I get to the judgment seat. When I get there, he tells me what I already know. You're innocent. Now, there might be people who are in Christ and they struggle. You don't understand what I'm doing. You don't know me. I'm struggling and I sin and I go out and I did this. You don't know what I did last night. You didn't see what I did last week. You don't know what's in my past. It's under the blood. He went to the cross for all of that. He went to the cross knowing that you would come to him on a Sunday morning and you would stand at the altar and that you would give your life to Christ and you meant it with your whole heart. But he also knew that same week that you were going to go out and you were going to get drunk. He knew you were going to go out and you were going to get high. He knew you were going to sleep with that guy. You were going to sleep with that woman. He knew 2 years down the road that you were going to keep committing sin. And he still went to the cross and he died on the cross that you might be in right relationship with him. And he knew when he pronounced the judgment of innocent that all those things would happen. But he said, guess what? It's still under the blood that you are justified. You are just as if I never sinned. So God's judgment, Jesus' judgment, is fair. So as we wrap up, the big idea this morning is Jesus wants to give you life, okay? We talk about the resurrection, okay? But Jesus said, I came to give life, and I came to give life more abundantly, okay? He didn't come because he wanted to judge you. He didn't come because he wanted to wipe you out. He didn't come because he wanted to get you. He came that you might have life and you might have life more abundantly. He came to give you something better than what you could ever imagine. So sometimes we think, we've got this exciting plan. We've got these exciting things that we are enjoying. God actually has a better plan than that. He wants to give you life. But if we reject life, judgment comes with that. So when he says, hey, choose life today, it's because there are eternal consequences. It is a real thing. See, we think it's not real because, I got to make this decision when I was 16 and I'm going to live to be 96. I got time in between. Yeah, you don't know you're going to live to be 96. There's plenty of people who they wake up and there's not breath in their lungs. They die in a car crash. Bad things happen. You don't know when your life is going to end. So live your life for Christ now. Because guess what? We've talked about all people are going to be judged by God. Doesn't matter who you are. All people will face judgment. But here's the good news. You don't have to face condemnation. Okay, you're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to face condemnation. The work has already been done. So this is like a gift has been given. Imagine a gift has been given to you. And all you have to do is accept and open that gift. And there's people who have rejected the gift. They've pushed it aside. They want nothing to do with it. You don't have to face condemnation. Choose life today. Choose life today. It might be here. You might be online. You might be listening in your car at home. Choose life today. Because guess what? When you choose life today, that means you choose life eternally. So let me tell you, you're going to live forever, okay? Christian, non-Christian. The difference is the status and the state that you live in for eternity, okay? As a Christian, that you live eternal, you live in the presence of God. You dwell with the presence of God. You live the best type of life. You get to walk on streets of gold, okay? That's impressive. Should be impressive to you. There will be no sickness. There will be no pain. There will be no suffering. Or you can choose. If you reject it, that means you live life separate from God. And where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not the existence that God has for us. So this day, choose life. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you want to give us life, that you want to renew us, that you want to be in right relationship with us. God, help us to hear your voice. Lord, if I did a bad job of communicating, Lord, just speak now. Touch now. Lord, give life, give freedom. Lord, I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.